Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, Fall of the House of Sunshine is offering episode commentary to Fable and Folly Plus supporters, still entirely ad-free. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
In this world, there are more stories than ants at a picnic. Some are red, some are queens, and some are drowning in the potato salad. But they're all worth the squishing. So, open your mandibles wide and listen! Welcome to Brushtown Stories, Episode 10, Ella Sunshine on a Cloudy Day, Part 1.
Ella Sunshine watched her brother sing. He had the most beautiful voice she ever heard. It had made him famous on the vaudeville circuit. His songs about the Ur-Tooth and brushing would pack playhouses. Brushy LaRue Sunshine was a star. It was funny that he couldn't read music and barely kept himself sober. Ella's mother always said that she and Brushy LaRue were two halves of the same person. If you could smush them together, you'd make one hell of a person. Ella was content to compose, write, and arrange the music. She was not meant for the stage. Her singing voice once killed a vole, and it was the class vole, so her fellow classmates were not happy. Brushy LaRue got down on one knee to really sell the "Ain't That the Tooth" moment. She knew the show beat for beat. As Brushy LaRue hopped to his feet, she knew there was exactly 3 minutes, 12 seconds left. And now, two, three, laughter, then the slip. Good reaction tonight to the fall. Now on to the big finish, a medley of Tooth Be Not Proud, I Got Biters, and Why Don't You Love Me No More, Smiling Sally. Her face scrunched up as she realized the piano player was a half step slow. She peeked out from the wings and saw her brother trying to adjust to the tempo. He's gonna use this as an excuse to get even more drunk, she thought. She wasn't wrong. 12 shows a night and a double matinee tomorrow, and he'll still be brain deep in the sauce. Maybe she could just put a coat rack on stage and hook him up to it so he stays upright. It's amazing that a beautiful voice can come from such an imperfect body. The next morning, Brushy LaRue banged on the small table in the corner of their shared apartment. "You know I can't go on without eggs. Come on now." Ella was at the stove trying to flip the eggs, but the yolks kept breaking. Brushy LaRue would only eat unbroken eggs. Finally, in a fit, he pushed the table over and grabbed the pan and threw it against the wall. "This is why you are alone, Ella. Tooth, help me, I don't know what good you are. Now get my arrangements and meet me at the theater." With that, Brushy LaRue stormed out of the apartment. He was only half-dressed, but in his hungover state he didn't care. He had spare clothes at the vaudeville house. Ella retrieved the pan and put it in the sink. There was a mark on the floor from where the hot pan had landed. She picked at one of the broken eggs. It tasted fine to her. After the last show of the night, Brushy LaRue sat in his dressing room. Ella asked if he wanted to go grab some food at the automat. "I'm going out with Hildy," he said. Ella frowned. "Don't look at me like that," he said. "She's a nice peach. Good honkers, too."
"She's not a dentite," Ella countered.
"So? I'm sick of all them judgy judgies. They think new molar is the nose of the world, but it's more like the something else, something bad. Besides, it's just a little fun."
"We do this to spread the Ur-Tooth's message. It's why we do this dirty business."
"Dirty business! Ella Sunshine, always the saint. How dare she stoop to ever muddy her mitts in this dirty business? Must be noble knowing that when you blow it out your bottom, it smells of rainbows."
It's bad enough when you're drunk, but must you be cruel sober as well?
Least I'm part of it. Don't slink back to my room like some frigid swank instead of living it up. You're not dead, Ella. You're not a molarite. Get out there and kick up!
Brushy LaRue jumped to his feet, knocking the chair over. He opened the door. He shouted to a bobbed blonde down the hall.
Come on, baby, let's swing.
He always left the dressing room such a mess. She started to pick up, but stopped herself. I'm not cleaning up his messes anymore, she decided, but then uprighted the chair. I'm not a barbarian. Certain things are just common decency. She left the theater, but when she was about to turn to head back to their flat, she heard her brother's words stick in her ear. It might have been spite, or some repressed feelings, or maybe the nudge of the devil fuzz, but she turned and headed down to Little Crimea Town, where the strangest and most raucous bars were always jumping. She'd been to a bar before, the nice, upscale, darkwood paneled library room. Brushy LaRue's manager, Jim Fingers, brought them when they signed on to do a stint on the Rutabaga Circuit. The Rutabaga Circuit was a series of Midwest music halls, mostly attended by bored farmers and farmers' wives. The tour ended poorly in Skokie when Brushy LaRue ignored the sage advice of not visiting farmers' daughters after hours. But the bars in Little Crimea Town were a whole other planet. Rag poured from several. It was no wonder the call for prohibition was growing if this was the result of wanton drinking. She skittered down the street, avoiding the doorways full of screams, laughter, fights. She was overwhelmed. A voice caught in her ear.
Hey, Lily, looking for a rally cap?
It was a short, stout man in a pork pie hat. He stood in front of a place called the Octopus Arms Inn.
This place has it all for you, and we cater to the fairer sex. I'm a suffrage man myself, 100%. Come on in. Don't worry. Anyone tries to give you a touch, Big Bull will give him the heave-ho.
He gestured to a giant of a man covered in odd tattoos of various folkloric characters. The little man sat her at a table and called for a glass of what he said was the finest brown. The drink was brought, and he went into a pocket and offered her a fresh lemon slice. Ella refused politely. He returned the lemon to his pocket. He then bowed low and said his name was Shakespeare, and then added,
"Apparently there's a writer who shares the name, but I never met him."
He gave Ella a wink. Then there was the banging of a large Oriental-style drum. The crowd hushed up as Shakespeare scrambled over to a small makeshift stage. Ella frowned. She went here to get away from performers. It was classic toothless that she ended up right where she doesn't want to be, she thought.
Ladies and the most gentle of men!
There was an odd burst of knowing laughter at this line, which confused Ella, but she chalked it up to the crowd being six cups deep. Shakespeare smiled and removed his hat.
The world is cruel, the world is unfair, but in here we say leave life outside. Here is the lacuna between living. What do we say to life?
The crowd roared back.
Slap it!
This was a bit odd, Ella thought. It seemed as if everyone was all well aware. Is this how bars operated, she wondered? Is this what the drinking class enjoy? Before she could ponder the social life of sots, there was the blast of a small trumpet. Then, from a small balcony, a woman appeared. She wore a bright red gown that seemed to glow against her dark skin, her mess of hair jutting off in every direction. She began to sing. It was a haunting song in a strange and unknown language. The sounds, even though the lyrics were a mystery, hit Ella deep in the heart. Then Shakespeare pulled back a curtain, and tied to a stake was a man. He wore a gray suit and had a waxed mustache. He was bound in a rope with a gag in his mouth. Shakespeare spoke over the singing.
Yes, here it is! The most dangerous animal in the world! The businessman, the senator, the power broker, the Christian soldier who tames the brown land, the stick to which the muddy ones measure against, the paragon of virtue carved in God's own image, husband, father, brother, John, gent, and whatever else it is that men like him are. You know the game, sweet folks!
Suddenly there was a line at the edge of the stage. Ella, for the first time, realized how many women were in the place. Shakespeare waddled to the edge of the stage and escorted the first woman up. She approached the restrained man and then slapped him. Then the next woman did the same, each in their turn. Some would call him names, or a relation's name, or an event, or just some private word that held a deep meaning to the slapper. All the while, the haunting woman in the balcony sung her song. Ella was taken aback as woman after woman slapped this man. Then she caught little Shakespeare's eye, and he beckoned her to come up. She demurred, but he beckoned again. Suddenly she found herself getting up and getting on the line. As she moved closer and closer to the front, she became more nervous, more anxious. "What am I doing?" she whispered. Then it was her turn. She walked up to the man. Was she really gonna slap him? This stranger? No, this is silly. This is some nonsense. Then she caught his eye. And in his eyes she saw her brother's eyes, and the world shrank to just those eyes, and as the world shrank, the eyes grew bigger and bigger until they threatened to crush her, so she reared back and yelled, "Eat your eggs!" and slapped him hard. And then she did it again and again. Then she stopped. Shakespeare grabbed her hand and held it up like a triumphant boxer. "The newest sister of the open palm!" he cried, and the room burst into applause. All of a sudden, Ella was flush with embarrassment and ran off the stage, and she almost fell as she rushed past the tables toward the exit. She burst into the crisp night air. Her face burned. What had just happened? She hurried down the street and then down another until she came to a small park and sat on a bench. She was breathing hard. She didn't see the boy leaning on the lamppost, or even notice when he whistled a certain way, or that soon several more boys, all dressed in blue and yellow jackets, came out of the fog and darkness. They pushed their snap caps down to shade their eyes, so their faces were nothing but masks of darkness. One of them put a foot on the bench.
"Did you know," he said in a raspy voice, "that all of the world, every moment of time in the universe, was leading to this very instant?"
And with that, he took out his knife.
Brushtown Stories is a Roy Gold production. It was written by Jonathan Goldberg with music by David Irigliari. Ella Sunshine is Kate McCluggage. Find out more about the show and cast at podmusical.com. Find out more about the number of constituent particles contained in the amount of substance given by one mole by using the Avogadro constant. Find out more about the number of constituent guacas contained in the amount of substance given by one mole by using the avocado constant. Thanks for listening, and have a suntabulous bicuspid of a day!
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.